Won't you take your copy of the Word of God, turn to the Older Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. I want to just share with you a few things that I believe will be a help to you. Brother David's already mentioned what have we come here tonight to do, and that is to worship the Lord. And we worship the Lord through bringing Him glory. That's what God created us to do, to bring Him glory. We were created for His pleasure. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11 tells us specifically that He created all things for His pleasure, for His will, for His good, for His delight. And our lives are designed to bring Him glory. And through Christ Jesus, which is the only way that we can really do that, is that he's made us new creations to be those vessels of His mercies, those trophies of His grace, that He displays Himself before the world that we live in through our lives. And we do that when we operate in faith obedience. Obedience is always being the platform of praise. When we're obedient, whether we voice in our obedience or whether we actually walk in faith obedience before the Lord, when His people are obedient to Him, that right there in itself, the platform of that obedience gives praise to God. The Proverbs tells us this, I believe it's Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law, and when he refers to the law, he's speaking of those that forsake the principles of God, the way of God, the word of God. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. You see, it's an automatic. When we neglect and we put off and we walk away from doing things God's way, whether we acknowledge the enemy or not, whether we voice praise toward him or not, the scriptures tell us when we are doing things our way and not God's way, our life gives adoration and praise to the enemy rather than glory to God. Because he says those that keep the law, the word of God, contend with the wicked. They contend with them. And that's one thing that we find in this journey is that we're in a battle. Amen? Right. Every day is a battle. We battle with our flesh. We battle with this world. And we battle with an enemy. And each one, the flesh, the world, and the enemy, we deal with differently. And the Bible gives us instructions on how to deal with our flesh and how to deal with the world and how to deal with the enemy. For an example, he tells us that how do we deal with the flesh? We have to mortify the flesh. We put the flesh to death. How do we put it to death? We do that by faith. How do we do it by faith? We put faith in the fact that when we gave our life, when we trusted Jesus, we died with Jesus upon the cross. We were buried in the grave with him and resurrected to new life. And as a result thereof, of a new creation, we have different principles and different ways we live. We don't live according to the ways that we used to live before. We have a new king that we serve. And we don't live a self-centered life. But that is all in faith. Because anything we do in the kingdom is always going to be through faith. The Bible tells us it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So really what faith is a man trusting God's Word, trusting Him, and living by His Word. And when we do that, what we do is that we put to death, we mortify the flesh. We let the Word of Christ dwell richly within us, as Colossians 3:16 would tell us, so that we can speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And as Ephesians 5 would tell us, Brother David, we're to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. So to mortify the flesh, I put faith in the fact that I died with Christ. I've got a whole nother realm of living now. And the only way to live this away will be that I've got to let the Word of Christ dwell richly within me and the Spirit fill me to teach me the Word so that I have unction, power from God, and understanding from Him on how to walk through this life.
Right.
And when I'm doing that, I'm walking in God's life. I'm walking in revival. The sad thing is, a lot of times we're not living that way. And that's why we gather for meetings like this. We get disconnected at times. You ever been disconnected from Christ? You ever not abiding in the vine and His life is not flowing through you the way that He wants it to throw and flow through us, and we're not walking in His abundant life nor producing the fruit of the Spirit? We don't see it flowing out of our life. Why? Because we've let this world around us distract us. And that's where the Scripture says, how do we deal with this world? He says we're to hate this world. Not the people in the world. Matter of fact, we used to be part of this old world. Amen. Scripture says that we're to hate the world. What does He mean, hate the world? He means hate a system that does not consider God's point of view in everyday life. The world we live in, the system that governs this world we live in, doesn't factor God into its equation for living. And when we let that attract us and draw us and distract us from living a life of faith, what happens is we rendered powerless to walk in the victory that we have in Christ. We need revival. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we gather. That's why we seek, Lord, help me. I want to walk with You. I don't want this world to pull me away from You. The world is always pulling at our flesh. Why? Because our flesh cannot bring pleasure unto the Lord. The flesh is at enmity with God. The flesh likes the natural world, the natural man. It wants to be cuddled, and it wants to be misled by the world we live in that doesn't seek God out. But we need to, by faith, recognize that, hey, my life doesn't belong to me anymore. Amen?
That's right.
I've been bought at a price.
That's right.
The blood of Jesus was shed for my life, and He's my King now, and I have to trust Him and look to Him. And then the world, which is I can't resist the world. That's what I do with Satan. I got to hate the world. Scripture says, resist Satan and he'll do what?
Flee.
The Scripture says you can't kill Satan. Satan, you can't do it. You can't kill him. You can't mortify Satan. You can't crucify Satan. But you can mortify what? The flesh. A lot of times we try to battle Satan like we battle in our flesh. A lot of times we try to battle the world like we're dealing with Satan. We try to resist it. We try to fight against it. He says, no, just hate it, despise it, don't want anything to do with it. But if we're letting the world dictate us and our flesh is moving us and motivating us, what happens is the enemy just plays on our emotions and on our mind. And we're no longer resisting him, or if we even doing anything, we're trying to kill him. We don't want him around. We're blaming him for everything. You ever blame Satan for everything? Man, I find in the church everywhere I go, people give Satan more credit than he's worth. And a lot of things that we're going through and a lot of things that are happening in our life, not at the product of Satan, but God's doing it. God's bringing us in this and bringing us in that so that He could bring us through, that He can get Christ out of us. The Bible says that God puts us to death daily. The disciples of the Lord Jesus are put to death daily that the life of Christ can be manifested out of their mortal flesh. So a lot of things that we give and attribute to Satan because of our ignorance or lack of knowledge or just plain deception is really God at work disciplining us, bringing us back to a place where we'll be submissive to Him and trust Him in faith and walk in His power. But see, we resist the devil. We stand against him. How? Steadfastly in the faith. That is, we are steadfast in the faith, walking with the Lord. You see, the mission of the church is not as complicated as we've made it. When we're bringing glory to God and we're steadfast in the faith, simply trusting God, there's going to be three things that we will be involved in. And this is where the church needs to see revival begin to take place. Three things. If these things are not even on your radar and you're not actively involved in it, you, as well as me, will definitely need God's reviving to bring us back, to draw us near. Number one,